and welcome to Why Golf Opinion Matters. This is the podcast where we celebrate everything about the sport with the great and the good of the golfing world, from the seasoned pros to those who have only just discovered their passion for the game. For those of you who haven't heard about Why Golf before, it's the place to go to find out why golf has such wide-ranging benefits for all of us. Whether you're an individual, company or federation, this platform is literally for everyone. If you want to check out everything we have to offer, just head to thisiswhygolf.com, which has been created to explain and to explore why golf is so beneficial and quite simply one of the greatest sports on the planet. Now, this episode, I am delighted to say that we're joined by someone who's had one of the most exciting and varied careers of anyone that I have ever known. Tom Evans is a former international rugby union player and was forced to retire at the age of 24 when he suffered a serious neck injury in a Six Nations game. Since then, he's gone on to become a rugby pundit. He's also a model. He's very good looking, a Strictly Come Dancing contestant. He's an excellent singer. In fact, he's got so many assets, which we're about to talk about. Tom was part of the 24/7 band in the early 2000s. Is it any surprise also that he's a good golfer? Tom, good to see you. Hello from LA. It's so glamorous.
How are you doing, Di? Thank you for that amazing intro.
Oh, well, it's all true. So I know you're a very good singer. Do you sing a lot?
You know what? Like, I can hold a tune. I wouldn't say I'm a great singer, but having done Celebrity, The X Factor, and being in a man band, as I like to call it, that complemented my tone. Let's just say that.
You were very good. You've got lots of fans and in the gallery as well who are saying you're a very good singer. And I've heard you. And my cousin Will Greenwood passes on his regards. He says you're phenomenal at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Funny you should say, me and Will do an amazing Flying Without Wings from Westlife.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. We're going to get it on the Why Golf podcast, definitely. I may ask you to sing something very shortly. But first off, Tom, you're in LA and you were going to come into the studio but had to fly off back to LA for an audition because you're an actor now. Tell us, how did the audition go? How's acting going?
Audition went really well, thanks, Di. And gutted I couldn't come into the studio. As you said, we're scheduled to come back. But as with these acting things, yeah, the last minute auditions, you got to take them. And yeah. Luckily enough for me, the audition went well, thanks. So just have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, it went well. So I can't ask for more than that.
Oh, listen, I went to drama school and I'm a very unsuccessful actress. I was in a couple of furnishing commercials and it's really difficult. I think at one time I had to sit on a sofa and I got paid £400, which I thought was amazing. Yeah. I had to sit on a sofa and say, great price, but to the person I was with, but say it sort of secretly and excitedly. So that was my instruction from the director. So it was like, great price. And I think it failed. It was only on television for about a week. But anyway, I digress massively. That was my acting career. What is it like when you go into a room full of casting directors and how are the nerves and how difficult is it?
When I first started doing it, it was pretty terrifying. Obviously, coming from rugby, it was something completely different. But like anything, you know, the more you work at it, the more sort of time you invest in it, the more you sort of try and hone the craft. And I think having been a professional sportsman, that's really sort of helped me out, you know, is what you're prepared to put in is what you get back. And I think a lot of actors who sort of take on this crazy world that acting is, they just expect it to happen. And I'm under no illusion whatsoever that that's going to be the case. So, you know, really putting in the work, really putting in the time. And I feel now that, you know, when you take on a role in sort of a specific character, I can really sort of lose myself in that role. So the nerves kind of subside a bit. And you're just purely that character. And I feel like the more I've done it, the more I've been able to do that.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, we look forward to seeing you in whatever project this is. We've got our fingers and toes crossed for you.
Holding a tray at the back of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I just want to talk about acting more. No, golf and your golfing journey. But first off, we were researching, obviously, your life. And you were born in Zimbabwe. T- Tell us why that was.
My dad's a professional golfer.
Brian.
Who I call 99 Brian, because 99 seems to be the club that rhymes the most.
Yeah.
And he, naturally, he's deadly anywhere from a 99 out. So myself, anyone of my friends can testify to that. But he was actually playing on the South African tour, and I just happened to come out in Zimbabwe.
I've met your dad out in Quinta del Lago. So is he the director of golf at Quinta?
He is, yes. They've been in Albiago, Portugal for over 30 years. When my dad first moved out there as a single man, he was the head pro at San Lorenzo.
Yeah.
He was there for a couple of years. That's actually where he met my mum on the driving range.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was taking divots out of the range, and he was like, wow, that woman's a terrible golfer, but she's actually quite nice on the eye, so I'm going to...
Oh, Brian!
Yeah, I know, smooth dog.
So he was like, I'm gonna schmoozy over there and give her some tips.
Yeah, as you do. And I think their first date was my dad, my mum, and nine other male pros, so it was... Definitely, yeah.
Did he take his 9-iron with him?
Probably, that's probably
Hi,
what.
Hi, I'm Brian. Here's my 9-iron. Oh, we love Brian. I'm only joking. He met her on the driving range. That's very romantic. So that's obviously how you got into golf, through your dad. Side note, does your mum play now?
She does. She started properly a lot later on, but actually she's won more, if you go to the house, like she's won more trophies than myself, my dad, and my brother put together. So she's a really good golfer. She's one of those typical golfers who just like never gives up. If me or my brother or my dad had her mental strength of the game of golf, I think we'd be much better players.
Sally, well done, brilliant. I love the fact that you're very competitive and sparky. Marvelous. So your golfing career started with your parents introducing you to the game, and what is it about golf that you love?
Golf is really my happy place. Like just being out on the golf course, the fresh air, the exercise. And I think, you know, if you're lucky enough to play in a group of golfers, I think it's just the camaraderie you have and, you know, building relationships. I think some of the best relationships that I've gained over the years have been on the golf course, because it's not forced. You know, if you're playing with someone in a team environment, you know, you have that kind of, I don't know, that relationship of trying to overcome something. It separates anything I've ever done in my life. You know, being on a golf course is just awesome, and I would encourage anyone to do it, really.
Yeah, that really reiterates what Helen Skelton said in our last episode, that the camaraderie that you experience on the golf course is like no other, and the friendships that you develop. And it's so unique, isn't it? Because you're playing a bit of sport, but you're also walking between shots, so you have that quality time where you're trying not to think too much about your next shot, but, you know, bonding with playing partners. And those, we were saying that those that don't play golf, you don't experience that interaction unless you're on a golf course. And with family as well, like with your mum and with your dad and your brother Max, who also former international Scottish rugby player, who's an excellent golfer as well. In fact, out of all four, who's the best golfer in the family?
I'd say my dad's still definitely up there. He's obviously lost a lot of distance.
Oh, Brian, has he? I believe he still smacks it a long way.
He does, bizarrely. I don't know how he gets it like so far off the tee still with that swing, but
really,
that body. But he
oh, harsh.
Yeah, I know. But I've got to give it where I can.
Yeah.
So we have an annual game every Christmas Day, where me and my brother take our mum and dad, and they actually beat us last year, which I'm still not really over. And it's, you know, my mum and my dad together, they just, what can I say, they really complement each other's game. And it's just a brilliant day out. And, you know, they're hard to come by these days, so I really cherish games that we do have.
So you play every Christmas Day? Is that kind of that's a tradition, is it?
Every Christmas Day, then come back, cook the lunch.
Nice. So the last one, you were beaten by your mum and dad. Do you remember the score?
They beat us on the very last hole. My dad sank like an 18-footer putt to win. And I've still not really gotten over it, but it's just it's tough. It really hurts.
Tough to take from Brian and Sally, but well done to you too. And Quinta del Lago, what a gorgeous place. The course is, I mean, Largo Lakes. Are you in the lakes a lot?
I am, actually. Yeah. Just like you said, I'm so very fortunate to have that as my home courses when I'm back. You know, I get to play Kinta North, Kinta South, and Laranjel. And the Algarve is blessed with many good golf courses, but those three courses for me right now are just are up there with the best. The condition and just the people who you see sort of floating around there. You know, there's just such a great bunch of people, and it's just such a welcoming atmosphere that I do feel incredibly fortunate to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to go out to do a Why Golf podcast live from the Algarve, just sort of telling the producers and director now. So, you know, I have no problems with that whatsoever. You are a former rugby player. Let's go back to when you were 24, you know, that awful injury, neck injury, and recovering from that. How difficult was that process, and how much could you play any golf at all straight after?
It was an incredibly difficult sort of time in my life, but the one thing I actually... when I came to, sort of asked the doctors, like, will I be able to play golf again?
Wow.
And he was like, well, let's just take it step by step. He was like, rugby's out of the picture, but I think you'll be fine with golf. I had two back-to-back operations, and the second one was to really, like, sort of put these metal rods around the spine to allow me to sort of play any sort of activity in the future. And about sort of 6 months after the injury, I remember going onto the golf range and hitting my first golf ball, and it was absolutely fine. If anything, the rods in my neck sort of, you know, helped my golf swing, because I still do sometimes, I always used to sway off the swing. But having my having my head really sort of helped that swing. So I have my injury to thank for that.
Just such a massive part of your life, and you know, that period of recovery and going through what you went through, and like, how do you deal with that now when you reflect on it all?
Golf really helped me, because like I said, just being able to sort of invest a lot of time that I usually would into rugby and having a sport that I cared more than anything taken away, I really invested a lot of that into golf, and I feel very fortunate that I can play golf. And you know, I can play it competitively. I'm so lucky to be a member at Sunningdale Golf Club. And, you know, it's my dream one day to try and sort of get on the board there, because, you know, there's proper golfers there, such a high standard of golf. I know I have to practice a lot in order to make that a reality, but, you know, it's something that I'm so lucky to have. You know, I'm so lucky to still be able to play competitive sport, and golf has really allowed me to do that.
How do you divide your time now? Because you say Sunningdale. So you've got a place over in the UK. You're in LA at the moment. So how often do you get back to the UK?
I try to get back quite regularly. You know, when the weather starts to get a bit better, sort of spring and the summer, I try to get back, because, that you know, there's no place like Sunningdale for me. Like, play as much as I can. And like I said, it's just my happy place. And lucky enough to have so many great members there from different walks of life, and it's just great to I like meeting people. That's one thing, you know, besides the golf, I just love meeting people, and being able to play golf and do that at the same time is just a dream.
So many different characters within the game, and it really brings people together. I remember we worked at the Celebrity Cup together. Do you remember at Celtic Manor, which happened a couple of years ago? Well, it went on for quite a few years, didn't it?
And as an amazing
event. So a weekend, basically, of celebrity golf in the Welsh Valleys, and quite a lot of boozing as well. I don't think many people went to bed. And so a variety of skill level, I would say. And you were right up there. My goodness, it was like Tom Evans on the, because I was announcing on the first tee, and it was like, yeah, okay, Tom's going to be fine because he's going to go straight down the middle. But the others, it's like, can we get the crowd back a bit, please? You know, events like that, golf has allowed you to again, meet other people, but be involved in a lot of charitable events. So it's kind of giving back as well.
Definitely. Like, I couldn't have put it better myself, Di. Like, I get invited to so many, like, amazing sort of charity days for such worthwhile causes, and it's amazing to sort of not only play in those tournaments, you know, for the better good and to raise a lot of money, but also just to, as you say, meet people with amazing stories of things they've gone through, things they've done for the charities. And again, it's just an amazing excuse to be on the golf course, creating amazing memories and just meeting fantastic people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really one of my stats here, because we're all about stats on Why Golf. 30% of golf fans have a personal interest in charities and volunteering, which is marvellous. And how do you compare playing golf to all the other sports that you've played in? Rugby, you're a brilliant dancer. I mean, you're really good at dancing. Strictly.
I try.
I mean, it's just natural rhythm. Did you dance a lot as a child?
I did. I was a massive Elvis fan. Huge Elvis fan. I still know pretty much most of his lyrics to most of his songs. But there's a lot of commitment when I dance. So I might not be the best technical dancer, but I...
Who says that you're not the best technical dancer? Well, Strictly, they would obviously scrutinize.
Yeah, Strictly was difficult because, you know, it is so technical. But yeah. If it was done in commitment, then probably would have gone a lot further.
I'm thinking your gorgeous other half, Nicole, do you ever talk about your singing or your dancing? Does she ever scrutinize what you do?
Funnily enough, we have a karaoke machine in the house.
Because she's obviously amazing.
Yes, she is. And it's tough because the two things I like more than anything in the world are singing and dancing.
Right.
And she's way better at both than me. So that's a lot of pride to swallow, I'm not going to lie. You know, you would think that she'd be the one singing, dancing around the house, but I'm always the one singing and dancing.
Is it you?
Always.
And where's the karaoke machine?
Upstairs.
Right. Okay. I'm just going upstairs to have some me time.
I'm on it all the time.
Are you?
Yeah, I just love it.
What's your go-to song?
So if it's not Salt and the Swing, Dire Straits, it's Mustang Sally.
Oh,
I love.
Awesome. I mean, can you just give us a couple of lyrics? Because you're a really good singer. You're amazing. Really good.
Mustang Sally now, baby. Nah. I guess you better slow the Mustang down.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. It was like the real thing, Tom.
Don't get me started.
Can we do Fly Me Without Wings now? Will Greenwood. Come on, you'd love it. No, you don't have to. Many joking. That was amazing. Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
I need Will.
You need Will. You do. We will be back with Tom Evans in just a second, but on Why Golf Opinion Matters, we speak to fascinating people every single fortnight to find out why they love the sport so much. Our last guest was a former Blue Peter presenter and Strictly Come Dancing finalist, Helen Skelton, who told us what happened to her on the first tee at Wentworth.
Stand up with my driver. I kid you not, I clipped it. It went over my head and backwards. It landed behind me. Mortifying.
How former rugby player Kenny Logan came to her aid when she was struggling to find her form.
He whizzed up on his little golf buggy. He's like, "You're not bad at this." We actually said something that's not podcast friendly, but I won't say it. You can imagine. He's like, "Skelton, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Oh yeah, you're right."
And Helen also revealed her why golf.
My dad's in his 60s and I can play golf with him. My son, my youngest, is 5 and I can play golf with him. Unlike any other sport, you can play with some people on the same level, even at the complete different age spectrum. You know, there's no other sport, I think, that you can do that.
Make sure you find time to listen to that chat and hit subscribe on your favourite podcast provider for a new episode of Why Golf Opinion Matters every 2 weeks. Now, back to our chat with Tom. Golf, it's one of those games that you can come to later on in life and practice on the driving range and then maybe just go and play a short par 3 course. This is what Why Golf is all about, though, to encourage more people to play golf. So somebody that can hit it straight on the driving range, let's encourage them to go and do a bit of putting, a bit of chipping, and maybe get the confidence to play a few holes. Because I think the thing about golf is we don't want it to be intimidating. We want everyone to feel included. And it's definitely changed. You feel that that's the process. It's changing. Golf is going in a different direction.
Definitely. Like, I think it's certainly a lot more accessible. And they have, you know, things like Top Golf now, which I think is amazing. And it's funny, there's a, you know, obviously talking about stats, like 80% of people who play Topgolf aren't actual golfers. Like they don't actually go on a golf play, which I found quite staggering when I first heard it. And if, you know, you can slowly start translating all those people who go to Topgolf, I think it, you know, it's all about making it fun. It's all about making it accessible. And when people start realizing that, you know, playing golf is so good for your mental health, I think it will go a long way in not only improving the sport, but just helping people in general.
Yeah, totally. Mental health, physical health. You know, the RNA have come out with so many stats, one of them being that you live 5 years longer if you walk and play golf, you know. So just so many different health benefits. Cognitively, you're learning a new skill is so important for the brain, to keep the brain active as we get older. And that exercise of, you know, not just burning calories, but having the mobility as well to hit a golf shot. So yeah, I'm just, you know how obsessed I am with the game. We're going to go on to a quick fire quiz called Clubhouse Curveballs. I feel like there needs to be a drum roll or something. I'll just sort of do that. Five quick fire questions to get a better understanding of your golfing preferences. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tom, would you rather win the Masters or make the Ryder Cup winning putt?
Wow, what an opening question.
Our producer's a bit naughty.
It would have to be make the winning Ryder Cup putt.
Yeah.
That was tough first question.
It was a toughie. It was a toughie, but we like them here on My Golf. Okay, number two. What's your most embarrassing moment on the golf course?
Embarrassing moment on the golf course.
Mine. Mine was four putting in front of lots of people at the PGA Championship at Wentworth. Four putting from 8 foot.
That's unlike you, Di.
Well, isn't it, Tom? Yes. Because yeah. I'm just such a good putter.
Most embarrassing moment on the golf course would actually have to be when Sally Evans, my mother, outdrove me.
Go, Sally. Come on. Yeah, great.
To be fair, I skied the ball, and she is a very long hitter. Old Sally. We were playing at the Royal Course in Valdelobo.
This was
two Christmases ago. And she had the audacity to say to me, she was like, you realize that they're doing some new building here. And I was like, wait, right here. I was stupidly was like, wait, right here on the fairway. And she was like, yeah, they're building between my ball and your ball.
That's brilliant.
And then she just carried on walking. And I was just like, she did not outdrive me, but then had the audacity to just drop that bomb.
Sally, can't wait to get Sally on the podcast to talk about that. Brilliant. Favorite club in the bag is number three.
6-iron.
Why is that?
Just very reliable on a par five. If I'm not feeling like too greedy to try and go for the green and two, I don't know. I just 6-iron's just the most reliable club. I love the flight of the 6-iron I hit, and it's just always a lot straighter than most of the other clubs. So 6-iron, yeah.
Okay, which three people would you take with you if you were offered a round of golf on the moon?
Wow, Tiger Woods would have to be in there. Have to. Who else?
Tom, Tiger.
Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, yeah. Just because I know he loves his golf as well, and two of the best athletes of all time.
Yeah.
And Elvis, I know.
Nice.
So just those, yeah.
You might irritate him a bit because you'd be singing the whole way around. Singing songs.
I'd be singing his songs, but then he would sing and he would make me sound better. So that's...
Okay, duet on the moon. Brilliant. Just you and Elvis.
I'd have to have some singing, you know, especially on my round, just to sort of like...
Oh, I can imagine it. So I can see it now. They're in your spacesuits. And finally, this is just getting stranger. Finally, a question we ask all our guests. What's your choice, your favourite drink on the 19th hole?
An Arnold Palmer.
Oh, for those that don't know, what is an Arnold Palmer?
Which is iced tea and lemonade. And I didn't realize what an Arnold Palmer was until I got to America and I was playing golf with this American guy, and he was like, hey man, he was like, do you want an Arnold Palmer? And I was like, what is in, like, you mean the golf? And he was like, no, it's a huge drink in America.
It's so big.
It's huge, and it's like the most popular beverage of choice, especially on a golf course, is an Arnold Palmer.
Good choice, like that. And finally, back to some kind of normality, to close off. We've loved chatting to you. Thank you, Tom. Why golf? Why play it? Why be part of it? Why be in the golfing community?
Why golf? Because it's fun. It's there's not many ways to escape the sort of the worries and the action-packed, fast pace that we live in this world. And if you want the calmness and serenity of just being at one with nature and good company, then try golf.
What a brilliant answer. Thank you so much. And when
I got that.
You did well. Yeah, ticking. Everyone's nodding. And when's your next round of golf?
I'm actually playing on tomorrow. I haven't actually played since I've been. It's been the longest. It's probably been about a month since I've touched a club. And I'm playing tomorrow at Mountain Gate with an Australian friend of mine. So very much looking forward to that.
Oh, Mountain Gate. It's just outside of LA, is it?
Just outside of LA, yeah. It looked. I literally just Googled the pictures late last night, and it looks pretty breathtaking. It's sort of, as you can imagine,
mountain. Oh, well, please let us know how you get on at Mountain Gate tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, a good golfer, never played with them before, and we're going head-to-head, and it's winner takes all, so we'll see.
This is it. Golf takes you to new places with fun and exciting people, and you get to chat to us on Why Golf. We really appreciate your time. You're in LA. It's early morning, and thank you, and we look forward to, hopefully, we can come out to the Algarve and do a live Why Golf at some point and meet and see Brian and Sally.
I can speak to Nine Brian,
yes,
about that.
Amazing. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, remember, if you like what you've heard, make sure you subscribe on your favourite podcast provider and the next episode will drop into your feed automatically. Make sure to leave a review as well. We're also on Instagram. Just search for This Is Why Golf, and that's the best place to submit your questions for Clubhouse Curveballs, which we'll put to our next guest. To find out more on the most up-to-date insights and research, just head to This Is Why Golf, where there's lots more information on all the benefits that golf has to offer. We'll be back on Friday, the 28th of April, to find out someone else's Why Golf. But until then, from me, Di Stewart, it's goodbye.